We are in some interesting times, aren't we? Amen. Very interesting. Amen. I'm going to be talking about the nature of God, and we really need to focus on his nature right now because there's things that could just take us. We don't want to take on a demonic nature while trying to stand for righteousness. That happens a lot. I tell people that if you focus on an enemy long enough, you will become just like your enemy, only on the other side of the argument. And that's the danger of becoming obsessed with an enemy or something like that. We don't want to do that. We want to follow the Word of God. We want to stand for God. We know that there's some very interesting times ahead of us, and that we're going to have to take some pretty strong stands. We are recognized now as the domestic terrorist. And I'm considered, the fact that I'm a pastor and I don't go along with the liberal theology, I'm like most wanted, you know. Just it's crazy. And we found out lately for the FBI to consider you a domestic terrorist, number one, you have to believe in the Constitution. Wow. Amen. You have to believe in the Bible. And there's several things that put you on that list. And if you voted for Donald Trump. One of the things that they don't understand is Donald Trump is not the cause of all this. Donald Trump is the manifestation of it. We have caused this. And that's why we're the enemy of the state right now. And that's okay. Amen. I've had to deal with this in foreign countries a lot. I never thought I'd live in my day that I'd have to deal with this in my own country. I have been chased down. They've tried to get to us to kill us. We've done that stuff in foreign countries. But today we're having to take a stand in our own nation, and I'm just praying and believing at the word that God gave me that they acted too fast. They stepped out of time. And God is going to, because of that, God's going to send another revival. Now, I want us to just get in our minds what a revival is. A revival or a move of God is the manifestation of God. That means that people are going to be born again. That means people are going to be delivered and set free. That means people are going to be filled with His Holy Spirit. That means people are going to be healed. That means that there's going to become a righteousness that will begin to move in people, okay? And that's what we got to focus on. What is it that God is doing in our nation? What is it that God is doing in our hearts? We could quickly, if we're not careful as believers in this country, we could quickly abort an awesome outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a political movement. We're going to stand up. We're going to make our voice heard. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. But we need to stay focused on the fact that our mission is what Jesus told us to do. Preach the gospel to the poor. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. You know, freely you have received, freely give. That's our mission. And we're going to stay focused on that mission. Praise God. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. I talked about this a little bit down at Sanctuary of Hope the other night. And as I was praying about this morning's service, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go back and visit that a little more. And the character of God is the demonstration of who He is. It's like our character. You know, character is what people find out that you are when there's no nobody watching. There's no, you know, it's what you live. It's what people experience from you. Now, you can have a, you can put on a personality, but you can't put on character, because character always shines through. No matter what happens, character always becomes obvious. And so can we stop right here? My heart is just burdened for some people. I got a call late last night from a pastor that his daughter has been got taken up by sex traffickers, and they're just keeping her strung out on meth. And they thought they was going to be able to get her last night, and they waited and waited and waited, never showed up, and they've not got any words. So they're just in torment today, because they don't know how to go about this. I don't, you know, as a parent, not knowing what's going on, not knowing what happened, as they thought they were going to be able to, she actually made contact with them. They thought they were going to be able to get her last night, but there was no contact ever made, and she didn't show up at the place that she was supposed to show up at. And I just want us to pray today. All night last night, I would wake up and I would be praying for this young lady. And this morning, my heart is just so burdened for this pastor and his wife and this child. That I believe that God's got some big angels that can move in and take her out of that situation. Amen. I want you to pray with me today for that. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we ask for and we want an invasion. An invasion of angels, Lord God. Lord, even in bodily form, to move in and rescue this young lady, Lord, from this situation. Lord, to take her out of bondage, to take her out of this trap. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that there be an immediate response, an immediate response. Father, we pray that there be a salvation, a redemption, a deliverance take place, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for that. Lord, we believe. We believe in your work, and we call on your name, Lord God, for salvation and redemption, Lord God. Not just for this young lady, but for everybody in this situation, Lord God. Lord, this is right here north of our area, Lord God. This sex trafficking ring is right here in our own neighborhood, Father. And I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that it be broken up, it be dissolved. Lord, send in the army. Send in your people, Father God. Take down this ring, this sex trafficking ring and this drug ring. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, for a powerful invasion of your presence and your spirit. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for others in this congregation, Lord God, that have children that are bound, that are being tormented, that are lost. Father, we pray for deliverance to come to these children, to these families, Father God. We break the power of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray and I ask, Lord God, for divine intervention, divine encounters in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for deliverance for these children. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Lord, I believe right now that needs are being met. God, I know there's needs represented in this whole house. Father God, there's needs that have to be answered this week. This week, Father, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I call it out. Lord God, I command the provision to be received. Devil, you will not block the blessing of the Lord on God's people. In Jesus' name, Father, I know you've sent it. I know it's your will. And now, Father God, we command it to be delivered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for that. Praise your name, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, I thank you for a powerful awakening. God, I thank you for a powerful awakening. Lord, we are not victims of this world, Lord God. We are your children, Lord God. And I thank you for the impact that we make when we pray, when we act. Lord God, when we move forward, I thank you, God, for the impact that's being made. In Jesus' name. Lord, the devil is scared and shaking right now, and he is moving in dramatic ways. But Father God, he's moving toward the hangman's noose. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we give you praise and honor and glory for what you're doing today. Father, I ask today that the corrupt people be cut off like George Soros. Cut off his money. Cut off his money, Father. Lord, those that are influencing, those, Lord, that are interfering in this nation, Lord, cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off. In Jesus' name, cut them off. Cut them off. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come against this Title IX thing they're trying to bring into schools. God, cast it down. Show it up. Reveal it for what it is, Father God. Lord, we pray for the salvation, Lord God, of this nation. We believe and pray for the salvation of this nation, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we believe today. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for deliverance. Sweeping this nation. God, I thank you that demons are going to start being expelled all over this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, I declare that you own the title deed to humanity. The devil does not have the title deed to humanity. They belong to you, Lord. And Father, I thank you. God, we call in the loan now. We call it in. Hallelujah. We repossess what's been taken. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for taking it back. Take it back, Father. Hallelujah. Take it back, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to stop and take care of business. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God is amazing. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, where was I? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature. Just a verse up, he says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Hallelujah. We have been given an opportunity to partake not only in being a member, but a partaker of the divine nature of God. In the divine nature is both his acts and his character. And God said, the Bible says here that by the exceeding great and precious promises, we have been, it's been made available to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, he said that he has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified us. We have opportunity today to come into that which God has released to us, or we can stand on the outside and admire it. Too many of the people of God has talked about and preached about. You know, the other night we had a good time down at the sanctuary. I get to preach down there when Pastor Sam's gone. And we had a good time down there, and there's a lot of people come forward. We got to pray with a lot of people and minister to them. And it was a good night, but I left there just really irritated at myself and the whole situation, because I left there saying, God, there's not enough happening. There's not enough happening. Amen. I don't want to just pray for and encourage people. Amen. I want to see a demonstration and a manifestation of what God has given them. Amen. Hallelujah. I left there not feeling like I'd accomplished something. I left there feeling like we've got more to do. Amen. We have opportunity to come into the inheritance. We have the opportunity to come into the divine nature of God. And we need to understand what the divine nature of God is. In Mark chapter 1, turn with me to the book of Mark. I've been reading a lot in the book of Mark because I really like the way Mark talks. He says, and immediately. That fits my lack of patience. I like the way Mark talks. And at once. And immediately. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I don't pray for patience. I try to practice patience. I do not need more opportunities to have patience. If you pray for patience, God says, okay, the only way to get patience is to practice. Here you go. So I don't ask God for patience. I try to practice patience. And as I tell Sister Betty all the time when she tells me that I'm impatient, and I am, I tell her, honey, I have loads of patience. It's just that everybody uses them up. Lame, isn't it? Yeah. But we want God to move. And I feel like we're in a time where there's going to have to be some acceleration of the move of God. Amen. Praise God. We can't play patty cake and appease anything anymore. We gotta move forward, and we gotta stir some things up. Amen. Hallelujah. Stir some things up. Anymore, all you have to do is believe in the truth and you stir things up. Amen. Yeah. Who'd have thought it? In Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, it says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, which was unlawful, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoke, immediately, there he is, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. Come on, somebody. I know me and Mark would have got along. But he says, when the man said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Me and Benaiah were talking about this the other night at supper. And Benaiah was talking about what he'd been studying and taking college courses. And in the study, it said that this word compassion, when I talk about Jesus being moved with compassion, it was not just a feeling of sympathy. It was not just a feeling of, well, they need it. Benaiah said that this word actually means that Jesus felt a gut-wrenching pain for these people. I want you to think about God, the nature of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I've come to show you the Father. And when Jesus was confronted with the situations of humanity, this word moved with compassion literally means that it was like Jesus felt this gut-wrenching pain for them. God, feeling such compassion for you that it hurts. And he said, I am willing. Be thou cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Hallelujah. If you've ever seen leprosy, until I started going to India and holding meetings in India, I didn't know leprosy was still a thing. You know, I read it in the Bible, but they have huge leprosy colonies in India. A lot of people, and they won't help them because they consider that that's their karma. And if they intervene and help them in their suffering with this leprosy, that they won't come back in a higher state than in the next life. And so the government people won't help each other because they believe that they will interrupt their karma. But we interrupted karma because we ministered to them. We helped them. We actually invited them to our meetings. We would have large groups of lepers in our meetings. One night we were praying for hundreds of people, and this man come up in front of me all of a sudden. You just kind of get in this state of seeking God when you're praying for that many people. And just one after another, hundreds and hundreds of people that are trying to get to you to get prayer. And you just kind of get in this zone and praying for people. And all of a sudden right in front of me was this man that part of his nose was missing. All of his fingers were missing. And it was just this pussy stub sticking up. And they were gone. And without thinking, I grabbed his hands and began to rebuke the leprosy in the name of Jesus. And of course, some of the Indian pastors jumped on me and began to say, no, let go, let go, let go. I didn't even think about what I was doing. And immediately they began to try to wash my hands and things like that. But I felt that compassion. It's, oh God, I can't even imagine suffering like that. I can't imagine what they go through. And one of the reasons that their fingers and things are missing is because they go numb. And at night, the rats eat their extremities, and they don't even know it, because leprosy kills the nervous system and you begin to go numb. That's one of the reasons they have missing fingers and missing ears and missing noses, is because at night the rats are eating on them. And this situation, this man come up in front of Jesus that had this leprosy and was living in this kind of condition. And he said, Jesus, I know what you've done for other people. I've heard the stories. If you would just be willing, I could be free from this. And Jesus said, I am willing. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The character of God is compassion for the hurting and suffering of humanity. And we as the body of Christ have got to get back to the place where we can let the compassion of God move through us and literally transform the lives of people. Because it's the nature of God, and we've been made partakers through the exceeding great and precious promises of God. We've been made partakers. Another character of Jesus is one that Jesus demonstrated in John chapter 2. Jesus demonstrated anger. John chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business." When he had made a whip of cords, I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. Jesus, God in the flesh, saw what was going on, turned around, went back outside the temple, found him some leather strips, and stood there and weaved a whip. And then turned around and went back in and began to kick their tables over and drive them out with a whip. Every time people tell me that I'm a little rough as a pastor, I tell them I have not beat you with a whip yet. Jesus would have, but I'm better than that. Jesus walked in, and the place that was supposed to be for prayer and the glory and presence of God, they had went in and set up tables everywhere in the temple with sacrifices. And this is why Jesus got so angry. In one place, he said, you've turned it into a den of thieves. The reason was because people would bring their sacrifices to the temple. And the priest would say, "I've found a blemish. This sacrifice is not worthy, but we just happen to have already pre-authorized sacrifices right here that you can buy." And so the people would have to go and buy one of the priest's sacrifices, and the priest would take their sacrifice. And when they left, tell them it's unworthy. When they left, they'd put it in the cage and sell it to the next person. I'm gauging my words right here. When Jesus walked in and saw what was going on in a place where the presence of God, the honor and respect of God was supposed to be, where people were supposed to come in and call on the name of the Lord in prayer, he got angry. Now the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." In other words, anger is a characteristic of God, but it has to be done in the right way. The fact when I got that call last night, anger rose up inside of me, and I wanted to go and find this young lady and barge in and take her out. But you have to use wisdom in that, because they'll get your license plate and show up at your house. Happens all the time down in Houston, Texas, where Martin and Kim Dale YWAM Houston, where they've been running ministries like this for 20-some years. We've been working with them for 20-some years. They have police officers that work with them. And when they find these young ladies, when we were down there recently, we would go down where all the prostitutes hang out. And we got out of the van with water bottles and chapstick. And on these water bottles and on the chapstick, there is a barcode. But that barcode is a phone number, not a barcode. And so we would walk up to these young ladies, and it'd make you so angry. You know, a lot of them are like 12 years old. We would walk up to these young ladies, and they were afraid to talk to us because their handlers was watching, cruising in the cars, watching, keeping an eye on us, what we're doing. And we got these water bottles. This chapstick would say, "Hey, how about some water? How about some chapstick?" And then we would tell them, "This chapstick has a regular barcode on it. This chapstick has a phone number you can call if you want out of here." And without fail, every one of them always grabbed the one with the phone number on it. And the way we got them out of there, the way Martin and Kim get them out of there, is they have police officers that they have developed relationships with and they can trust. And they call the police officers, tell them who the girl is, give them a description, and the police officers go down there and arrest the girl, put her in a car, and take her off. But instead of taking her to jail, they take her to a ranch outside of Houston where they can't be tracked. And then from there, they are discipled and brought into safety. And the reason that they do that is because they have had people go and rescue these girls in their personal vehicles. And later, these traffickers would show up at their houses and rape and kill the ladies and the men and just make havoc. You got to be wise. But at the same time, you really don't want to be wise. You want to take care of business. Amen. I've got three little granddaughters coming up and a grandson. And I got to tell you, God's going to have to help me as they grow up, because I got to know how to be angry and sin not. Amen. Grandpa might not be able to walk very good, but you threaten one of my kids, and I think I can walk real good. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We don't just stand back and say, "Oh, Jesus, please help them." No. I'm kind of like this old St. Bernard we had when I was growing up. We called him Samson, big old dog. And he was huge. He would come up behind me and knock me down with his paws and then lay down on me and not let me up. Just for fun. Now this old dog got arthritis real bad, and he could barely get up and walk. I mean, it was painful to see him try to get up and walk. But if another dog came on our property, all of a sudden Samson had no problems anymore. He would be up and gone. I mean, running full speed, and he would chase any other dog or animal off, and then here he'd come limping back. Amen. Some of you grandpas say amen. Amen. But Jesus drove him out of the temple. But it wasn't because he was just angry. He was establishing order where it needed to be established. And he was saying, "This is not going to happen in my house." Amen. Not going to happen. This is a place for prayer. This is a place to worship. This is a place to encounter God. Amen. Another trait that God experiences is in Luke chapter 19. I just want us to understand the parameters of the nature of the one that we serve. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Jesus, after the triumphal entry and talking about the stones crying out, if these remain silent. It says, "Now he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. He wept over it. When he went to Lazarus' tomb, it says, and Jesus wept. This word wept does not mean that a quiet tear ran down his face. It literally means that he violently wept. Uncontrollable weeping. Have you ever been there? If you've ever had a tragedy in your life, if you ever lost a child or whatever the case might be, you know what it means to have uncontrollable weeping. It's almost like a convulsing that takes place. Your whole body weeps, not just your mind, but your whole body weeps. And that's what it says that Jesus, when he realized, when he looked out over Jerusalem and he said, you've missed your day of visitation. If you'd only known. And he began to weep violently. Jesus felt the intense sadness of grief. Many times when we're going through grief, it's almost like nobody understands. I got to tell you something, Jesus understands grief. He knows what it feels like to feel that pain and that hurt and that loneliness. When all of a sudden there's an absence that has become part of you. There's a grief. There's a weeping that takes place. And Jesus was looking out over Jerusalem, and this grief, this weeping came upon him, and he felt sadness. Anybody that has this attitude that I'm spiritual, so I never feel sadness, you are not understanding. You don't know the character of God. The Word of God says, weep with those that weep and laugh with those who laugh. Amen. Weeping with people, feeling the grief of people is not unspiritual. It is not a lack of faith. Jesus, the Son of God, felt grief and he wept. If we're not careful, we get to believe in our charismatic theology gets to such a point that we will not even allow ourselves to even think of loss or grief, because that would not be faith. I think Jesus had faith. Amen. When people are suffering, don't give them your charismatic jargon. Wrap your arms around them and weep with them. And when they are hurting, 2 days later, weep with them again. When they're angry, console them with your hands, with your arms. Don't lecture them. Jesus did not lecture people that was suffering. He brought answers and he consoled them. Mary and Martha was so upset that they were weeping, and Jesus stood there and wept with them. The Son of God. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but that didn't stop him from weeping because he felt the pain and the sadness in Mary and Martha's life, in their heart. He's so connected to that. Amen. People going through grief go through several stages, and sometimes they get hung up in different stages. There's intense sadness, and you can't fix that by telling them it's going to be okay. You just got to let them weep because it has to be poured out. There's a rending of a heart taking place. When you lose some, I don't know why I'm staying on this, but when you lose somebody like that, it is not just a loss. It is literally that person is being ripped from the very fiber of your being. It's a pain you can't find, you can't explain, but it's overwhelming. Amen. And then they go through anger. You know why people get angry? Because weeping makes you feel like a victim. It makes you feel weak. Anger is empowering. So after people hurt for a while, they start getting angry because anger makes you feel more powerful. Anger makes you feel like you're doing something. Okay? Don't get hung up in anger because it's just a response you're having to the pain. Amen. Sometimes they feel euphoric. After all the anger and the sadness, all of a sudden everything's all right. Woo! We got this. It's going to be okay. All right. Sometimes there's disbelief. I just can't believe it happened. I just can't believe it happened. I can't believe it happened. But they'll go through that euphoric period where it's okay. And the next thing you know, they're weeping again. And if you're not careful, your impatience takes over. And you want them to start straightening up. They will. But we as the body of Christ need to act like God and love them. Hey, boy, it's getting quiet in here. Amen. We don't like to hear this stuff. We like to get worked up and have a faith speech. This is a faith speech. Because your arms are the most healing thing there is when somebody's hurting. You wrap your arms around somebody and don't lecture them. Don't try to talk them out of it. Just love them. Love them. Because that's what they're missing. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus understood intense sadness. He understood what it was to hurt for somebody. Amen. Not a lack of faith. Sister Betty's, she is compassion defined. I mean, she has compassion. All she has to do is see somebody that she thinks is having a bad day and tears start rolling down her eyes. I look over at her and I say, "What? Now what? What happened?" Because I'm not that person. She had to teach me compassion. I'm a fix-it man. Amen. Compassion is shown in two different ways. Compassion is shown in empathy and sympathy and also in fixing things. Sometimes people operate in compassion when they see somebody hurting. They are into answers and action. Okay, let's fix what's hurting. Let's fix it. Both are very necessary, but both have their time. Amen. I've had to learn how to let the compassion work and at the same time try to fix the problem. Amen. I like fixing the problem. If you ever see tears running down my face, you know something really desperate is happening because my eyes just simply don't water. When I think that I'm having just an absolute emotional breakdown, my eyes get kind of moist. And it's like, oh, man, I'm really having an emotional moment here. I go into take care of people and fix it mode, you know. But Sister Betty, she immediately, I mean, it's just like that. We can go sit down in a restaurant, and if she sees some older person sitting in a restaurant by herself, next thing I know, I look over, and she's just bawling, tears running down her face. And I'll say, what happened? What happened? She'll just shake her head. And it's because somebody's lonely. That's compassion. Amen. That's love. I had to learn how to understand that because I didn't understand it for a long time. I tell her, I said, well, quit crying. Let's do something about it. Let's, you know? I didn't understand it. I had to learn to understand what that was. And I had to learn to understand the power of it. Amen. Powerful. Jesus felt our pain. He felt the pain of people that's suffering. He felt intense sadness. Praise God. Now we're going to get to the good characteristics. Everybody say, woo. Praise God. Amen. Jesus wants us to understand that we have access to everything he is. Everything he is. There's not a part of God that's been withheld from us. Everything he is has been opened up to us. His character, his power. I like the power side. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. I like the power side. I like powerful things. I've worked for years with electricity. I know the power of it. I know what it can do. I know how it operates. I know what it can do to you when it operates the wrong way. When you become part of the circuit, your body is mostly water, and water is a conductor of electricity. And so when you become part of the circuit, it's amazing how much electricity can flow through you. Amen. Amen. I know y'all get tired of these stories, but it killed me one time. I got up and walked it off. I'm actually not joking. I got blown up on a power pole when I was a lineman. And when they got to me, I'd slid quite a ways down a pole. It was like a 90-foot tall pole. And I'd slid part of the way down the pole and was just hanging there in my belt. And when they got up to me, they said I didn't have a heartbeat. I wasn't breathing. And so they started trying to get me down. They didn't have a bucket truck available at the time, so they started trying to unbuckle me and get me down, and they dropped me. And so I guess when I hit the ground, it started my heart beating again. And in a few minutes, I was up on my feet. I had a weird look in my eye, but I was on my feet. And the boss kept saying, I got to take you to the hospital. And I kept telling him, no, we got revival tonight. And so I refused to go to the hospital. And it just so happened that's one of the few times we were working in the Branson area. The rest of the time we was working in other states. But I happened to be home for this job. And I got in my pickup and drove up here to church. And come walking in. Betty was sitting down front. I come walking out and had my hard hat on all day, so my hair was just like this. I had dirt and creosote all over me. I had no idea where I was at. I come walking in this church right here. I come in and sit down by Betty, and I just sit there staring off into space. You get that much electricity going through your brain, it kind of takes a little bit to get to where you can function again. I like things that have power. I like cars that have power. Amen. If I ever have to drive a Prius, it's just going to break my heart. Some of y'all might have a Prius, but I mean, you know, it just breaks my heart to think about that. I like the sound of a V8 motor. I mean, it's just like, that's where life is. Amen. I like riding Harley Davidsons that sound mean. Matter of fact, for Sister Betty, I was actually going to give in and get a Goldwing, and I told her that, and she said, I don't want one of them wimpy sounding bikes. I'm very good. Amen. Woo! Jesus made it possible for us to have access to everything he is and everything he has. Amen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14, verse 27. I'm gonna jump back up 23 just for a minute. So Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I want everybody to say home. He doesn't come for visitation. He comes to live, to abide. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I jump down to verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That's a powerful statement. Jesus was saying, I have peace. And if you want to know what peace is, go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 3, where it talks about that by grace, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. And look that up in Amplified Classic. It gives a description of what peace is that is powerful. And you realize it's not just a feeling of being at peace or a tranquil feeling. It is powerful. It is delivering. It is bondage breaking. Amen. When peace comes upon you, it breaks the chains of the enemy off of you. It breaks torment off of you. And it says that it's freedom from agitating passions. If that's not a word we need today, agitating passions. Amen. Freedom. But he said, my peace I give to you. Amen. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said, I'm going to give you my peace. Not your peace, my peace. A supernatural peace that comes from heaven. The Holy Spirit demonstrating the character of Jesus inside of us. To be at peace. It's hard to be at peace when things are going wrong, isn't it? Amen. As I was praying with that dear pastor last night, he was suffering. He was suffering. And I kept saying, oh God, I don't even know what to do to help him. I said, man, I just gotta pray. Let's just stop and pray. I had no words for him. He was suffering. And we begin to pray. And we begin to pray for the supernatural peace of God. And we begin to pray for the glory and presence of God. And in a few minutes, I heard him crying and rejoicing and praising God. Why? Because when the peace of God comes, it is a deliverance. It is not just feeling better. It's a delivering power. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 9, we've already talked about the characteristic of God to love. But it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Not your love, my love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Same thing, supernatural. Power, breaking. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. My joy, I'm going to be singing soprano here in just a minute. My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, because my joy, which is not contingent on circumstances of this world, is in you. Hallelujah. What a powerful joy. I'm not talking about feelings here, folks. I'm not talking about feeling better. I'm not talking about feeling happy. I'm talking about supernatural, bondage-breaking, chain-shattering power that Jesus Christ has said, I'm giving to you. It's mine, and I'm going to give it to you. Amen. And that your joy might be full. How many want their joy to be full? In the day we're living, we need joy to be full. Amen. We need to be able to laugh when everything says you shouldn't be laughing. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to practice. Practice. Amen. Practice being happy. Get in front of the mirror. Practice your happy face. You know, Betty's always, about the only time I really smile is when I'm preaching. Rest of the time I don't smile, don't know why. And Betty's always saying when they take pictures, you know, in pictures, she'll say, smile this time. And to me, a normal smile is this side of my lip goes up. I don't know why. And she'll say, smile. I'll say, I am. But when I'm preaching, everything's different. I got the joy of the Lord on my, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? There is just an expression of the presence and joy of the Lord. Now, it wasn't always that way. I used to be meaner than a junkyard dog loaded with ticks. Wrap your mind around that illustration. I don't know where that came from. I think it just means mad and agitated. Okay? That's why I was, as a pastor, I was mad and agitated most of the time. You know? When I was a young man and I was an evangelist, I could have got anybody to come to the altar. I mean, because I beat you until you did. I thought that's how you're supposed to, I thought that's what it was all about. But man, it was miserable, you know? And one day God began to deal with me about that. And I'd been pastoring here for quite a while. Next year will be 30 years that we've been senior pastor here. I've been here since I was 17. I got born again 17, and I've served here my whole life pretty much. But one day, Holy Spirit began to deal with me about that, and I come in, and I can show you where I sit down at right here. I sit down here, and I said, okay, I got to figure out this happy thing. I got to figure out how to do this. And I thought, well, I'll practice. You know, laughing was not something I did. I was serious as a car wreck. And I just didn't laugh. When I was young, I did. You know, when Betty first met me, I was carefree. I mean, I had no, you know, I was just Mr. Carefree. Nothing bothered me. And then I got in the wrong side of life for a long time, dealing with everybody's worst day, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And it just took the joy out of me. To me, life was just almost impossible because I was always dealing with everybody's worst day and problems. And so I come in here and I sit down. You don't practice this, right? I sit down and I went, ha, 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 ha. Sounded like a horse that got choked. I thought, okay. And so I started practicing trying to laugh. I mean, it sounded crazy. Ha, ha, ha. Man, I didn't feel it. It was forced. But I kept telling myself, you're going to get this because it's a nature of God. It's one of the characteristics of God. You're going to get this. And so I continued to practice this. And I want to tell you something. It took a lot of breakthrough. Matter of fact, it took deliverance from bondages of grief and sadness and all kinds of things. God had to break this stuff off of me until I got to the place where I could feel what joy actually was. It's a supernatural power and breakthrough. Amen. Supernatural power and breakthrough. Some of y'all need supernatural power and breakthrough. Amen. Praise God. You need to have laughing. Have you ever laughed until you're sick? Have you ever laughed until you feel like you're going to pass out because you're laughing so hard? I mean, it's traumatic. You laugh until but the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I was reading a scientific writing the other day that said, I can't remember all the statements, but anyway, a few minutes of actual belly laughter is healing, will do more for you than most medicine you can take. It'll actually bring healing to you. Amen. So let's start laughing. Amen. One of these days, we're going to have one of those Rodney Howard Brown services, and this, everybody in this church is going to be crawling on the floor laughing because God's going to set us free. Amen. He's going to set us free from all the sadness that we've been going through. Amen. So God understands your pain. He knows compassion. He knows sadness. He knows anger. He knows peace. He knows joy. He knows love. We are recipients of his nature. He said, you are partakers by these exceeding great and precious promises. By these exceeding great and precious promises, you've been made a partaker of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, I just want to, I keep hearing Holy Spirit talking about shutting off the voice of depression. Shutting off the voice of, did you know depression has a voice? And at all, every time depression comes on a person, it says the same things every time. It's like turning a recording on. And it plays the same tape over and over and over. Same thing. About how worthless you are and how nobody loves you. And I'm just picking some things out. How everybody'd be better off without you. That's where it goes. Everybody would be better off if I wasn't here. Lies of the devil. How could anybody actually believe that when they understand that in order for you to be gone, part of their being would have to be ripped out of them. Amen. Not only that, I remember one preacher said it's not a good idea to show up in the throne room of God uninvited. Amen. We need to understand that there's a voice to this stuff, and it always speaks the same things. And if you understand that, when that recording starts, you need to learn where the off button is. Amen. Where the stop button is. You need to get a hold of the tape player and say enough of that stuff and push the stop button and start saying just the opposite of what that voice says and start saying, I am valued by God. I am rich and wealthy in everything God has. I am a child of the Most High God. I have been blessed. I have character. I have gifts. I have value and wealth about me that has established me. I mean, you got to learn how to speak truth. When lies start, you got to speak truth. The problem is, this depression is just like an old blanket that you've had for years, and you just grab that thing and roll up in it. It actually feels comfortable at first. And you start agreeing with that stuff. That's right. Nobody loves me. Nobody really cares about me. That's the beginning. It always ends up with, everybody'd be better off if I wasn't here. It's a demonic spirit that's taken advantage of hurt and pain inside of you that you've not been able to deal with and not been able to get healed of. Rejection and abandonment. The lack of significance. And the devil moves in and starts poking those buttons and poking those sores to get you to come in agreement with these demonic statements. And it always plays the same song. And if you know it's playing the same song, then you know that it's not true. And you have to stand up and say, no, you can't have me. You can't have my life. You can't have my family. You can't have my value, because Jesus values me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the devil always starts speaking in all-encompassing statements. Nobody loves me. Everything is going wrong. Starts these statements that starts cutting out all options and all hope. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in this house today. Amen. It's time to push the stop button. Hallelujah. It's time to push the stop button. Glory. Amen. I said it's time to push the stop button. Stand with me today if you would. Praise God. This spirit's gotten by with this way too long. Gotten by with lying to you and getting you to believe it way too long. He's taken you to the precipice of hopelessness so many times. But thankfully, you found your way back. But what I'm telling you today, it's time to stop making that journey. It's time to stop making that journey. If you're trapped in sadness today, Jesus said, my joy I'm giving to you that your joy might be full. It's time to start practicing what he gave you. You're a child of God. If you're in torment all the time, he said, my peace I'm giving to you. My peace I'm giving to you. Hallelujah. You know, I could come and just start pulling people out. But I'm not going to do that, because this is something that you have to face up to. You've got to get the courage to confront some of these things. We ended up here. Holy Spirit led me to this point. And so we need to let Holy Spirit deal with this. Amen. I'm not gonna just start calling you out, because you know who you are, and you've got to make that first step. You got to make that first step. You got to push the button. You got to push the button and say, it's time. It's time for depression to stop. It's time for the voice to stop. It's time for that recording to stop. God, give me the ability to show me where the stop button is, so I can punch it. Come on, there's others in this house. You need to take a step. You need to step out and say, I'm going to push the button today. I'm not going to be tormented like this any longer. Hallelujah. Don't miss your opportunity to establish truth in your life today. Don't miss your opportunity to establish life and truth today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Come on. Not going to be tormented any longer. No more. God, show me where that button is. I want to punch it. I want to punch it. Hallelujah. Give me some of my prayer warriors up here today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.